This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Who need work here? Truthfully, I could have retired after my first year. And here we are, 4 years later, tired of work here. Makes sense with all of this talcum powder dispersed here. Bruh, one brick at a time to build the bottom up.
Count them all.
Two bricks at a time, you got your product up.
Count them all.
Few bricks at a time, feel like you got enough.
Yeah.
Room full of bricks anytime, yeah, that was probably us. One brick at a time to build the bottom up.
Count them all.
Two bricks at a time, you got your product up. Few bricks at a time, you feel you got enough. Room full of bricks at a time, yeah, that was probably us. Oh yeah, that was Brick by Brick by Skyzoo. It felt right. Whatever. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pan Society. And I must start this episode by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me. Listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me. And I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Yeah, I guess that intro track felt right for today's episode because, man, 42 sucks. My birthday was awesome. Let me say that first. Shout out to Wifey for taking such good care of me. I really do appreciate and love you. But yeah, the birthday was cool. Good day, great day, you know, cool beans. But then right after that, I guess my body decided to remind me, nigga, you 42. And yeah, I'm sitting here right now with a rice sock on my shoulder trying to get rid of a back problem that came out of nowhere. I don't know what I did. I sneezed too hard. I don't know. Raised my arm too fast. Who knows? I think at this age, it just feels like you stand up too fast and something bad can happen. So yeah. So in that sense, 42 sucks. But I still felt the need to try to get an episode out today because, like the song said, like, you know, I've been building something. I've been building it, you know, brick by brick and, trying to keep it going. And I got a lot, you know, a lot of irons in the fire right now, a lot of things going, and that's how I feel. Yeah, I feel like, you know, a few bricks at a time, you think you got enough room full of bricks at a time. Yeah, it was probably us, like the team that I'm surrounded with and the people that I'm working with right now and the work that we doing and the things that we trying to bring to fruition is super dope. So yeah, once again, shout out to Opulence Radio. If you haven't checked it out, download the app, tune in, always something dope on there. But you're going to see a lot of passionate content creators that work extremely hard at making this content and, you know, trying to provide entertainment for the masses. And, it's not always fun. Sometimes you got to do it with a rice sock on your shoulder. And that's... Wifey suggested the rice sock to me. She was like, can you make a rice sock? And I was like, a what? I'm like, I'm assuming I can because I got rice and I got socks. But yeah, I have no idea what that is. But basically, I had to fill up a sock with rice and then put it in the microwave. And I guess it holds the heat. So try to relax the muscles that are spasming in my back as we speak, but it's all good. Yeah, I think my main concern was I enjoy rice. I really do. And now I'm like, you know, that's a lot of rice to put in the sock. And I'm pretty sure I can't use it at this point. I don't think I would use it, but I'm hurt by that. anyway, I'm rambling because like I said, I didn't know if I was doing an episode today. I really didn't. Haven't slept very well. I lost a whole day and just trying to deal. Whenever your neck or your back is hurting, it's like there's nothing you can do. Like there's no comfortable position to sit in. Laying down doesn't help. Standing up doesn't help. Moving around doesn't help. You know, this heat or whatever is helping. Maybe I need to go to urgent care to get some X-rays or something because I'm getting that old where you can just have not done anything. Like, I haven't done any strenuous activity. I'm not out here playing football or basketball. I'm not hooping. I'm not doing nothing. And somehow I have an injury. Like, what the fuck? This is weird shit. Anyway, let's get into the episode the way we always do with the Chef Elise Report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am, and proud to be. Yeah, I don't have a lot. I really don't. You know, after her birthday and my birthday, I kind of chilled out, you know, last week. And, you know, finished off the week at work. I've gotten a few messages and things from her. She sent me something the other day on how to make homemade cough drops. So I think that's going to be our next little project. It seems simple enough. And I usually have all of those ingredients around. So I think Chef Elise and I are going to make our own cough drops and see how that works out. But we need to get back to that. I've been wanting to do more projects with her and get back to the baking and stuff like that. She's just a walking tornado. Just, it doesn't matter what it is I'm trying to do. I know she's going to wreck my entire house, everything. And I'm not going to find all of the things that she messed up until days, weeks later. If I have her for 2 weekends out the month, and it feels like every weekend that I have her, by the time I get everything back to where I wanted it to be, she's here again. And I'm not complaining because I love my little girl and I love spending time with her, but she's a nightmare of walking. She's a nightmare walking. Like, she's straight out of Colors. It's crazy. But anyway, that's really all I got for the Chef Elise Report. We're going to make homemade cough drops, and whenever we do, I'll let you know how they turned out. You'll be the first to know. It is what it is. But that's the Chef Elise Report this week.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, this is it's going to be a weird episode. I'm not at all 100% prepared or here, but it is what it is. Man, yeah, I'm trying to get back into a space where I fall in love with the process of doing this. Anybody out there listening to this who is thinking about entering the realm of podcasting, just, it ain't what it looks like. Apparently it looks like it's easy and it's a quick come up and you just gonna gain an audience and just put out content and make money and all of that. And that's just not what it is. It's work, and it's every week work, every day work, you know, promotion. And there's a lot of stuff I'll probably spend more time on than others, but, you know, it means something to me to put out a quality product. There's things that I do that you don't hear unless you listen to the last second of the show. You know, there's stuff I put into every nook and cranny of this show to increase the production value or just to show that I care and that, you know, putting this together means something to me. And so a lot of those things I have to just, I can't be expecting something in return to continue doing them. Because if I was, I'd have quit a long time ago. Trust me. I don't even want to tell you how many years I am into this podcast game. But if I was only doing it because I was getting some sort of return on investment, I'd have quit a long time ago. But I'm trying to get back to that space where I just love what I'm doing and I enjoy doing it. And that's why I do it. And, you know, it's an ebb and flow sometimes. I have weeks where that's what it is. I have a story I want to tell. I have something I want to get off my chest. I sit down here and I knock it out. And I have other weeks where I ain't got shit to say, but I feel like I got to get an episode out. I ain't got nothing to say. I got a bad shoulder, bad back, but I still got to do a show. So, luckily, you guys have been, you know, consistent with dropping these questions for me. If you would like to get your question answered, hit up the AMA I have on my website. It's whatistws.com/AMA. Ask me anything and drop me a question. And I'll answer it here. A lot of times I think I'll save the music-related questions because I get a lot of those, but I'll save the music-related questions for Kiss the Sky on Opulence Radio. That's Friday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 to 9 Central. I feel like I need to say that because I'm Central and not everybody's Eastern, but the world acts like everybody's Eastern. It is what it is. But yeah, I'll answer the music-related stuff there. Things that are more just directed to me or the world or random questions, I'll answer here. But I answer everything. I don't censor anything or, you know, dodge any questions. I'm going to answer it. So submit your question and get an answer here. I think I'm going to spend the rest of the episode doing that because Yeah, my shoulder's fucking with me. Anyway, what we got? What we got? What we got? Let's see. Here's one. At what point do you decide when to cut someone out of your life? Let's see if I can find a way to work that into the topic today. That's a difficult question because I struggle with that. I struggle with knowing when to cut ties with people. Because of some of the things that I've gone through and some of the mistakes that I've made, you know, the substance issues and all of that. I feel like there were a lot of people in my life that gave up on me. And that's probably one of the most hurtful things I've ever experienced. When you have people around you that you trust and you love and you feel are family and you treat them like family. And then when you're going through probably, for me, the most difficult time in my life, when those people abandon you, that hurts. It hurts profoundly in a way that I don't know. I know I have not fully gotten over, and I don't know that I ever will fully get over any of that. And so I say that to say that when I'm dealing with someone, you know, and they seem to be in a space that may be detrimental to me, there's a reluctance for me to just cut ties with them because I never want to give up on somebody the way I feel people gave up on me. And maybe those people were justified in doing what they did. They were justified in walking away because I had shown enough to say, you know, it isn't worth it, you know, to stick with this person. This person isn't showing any signs of, you know, coming back from whatever it is they're doing, and having them in my life is doing more harm than good. And so, you know, maybe that's how they felt. Maybe that's the evidence that they had, and they were justified in doing that. But I know I came back eventually. Now, even with that, maybe I only came back because people walked away from me. You know, maybe if they had stayed, I wouldn't have had a reason to, you know, decide to make the changes that I made in order to be a better person today. But I guess we'll never know. But yeah, I have a hard time with that. I would think that really what I'm trying to use as like the litmus test for when I know somebody doesn't need to be around me anymore, or I need to cut somebody out of my life, is when things are unbalanced. When I start to notice that our interaction is 100% based on what I can do for you, and there's never any reciprocation. Because I'm not a person to ask for things. It's very hard for me to ask for help. It's very hard for me to, you can really tell how close I am to you, not by what I'm willing to do for you, but for what I'm willing to allow you to do for me. If I will allow you to help me, if I will, you know, if you will offer me something and I'll take it, that is a better indicator of how close we are than what I'll do for you. Because I'm a naturally giving, generous person. I don't like most of you motherfuckers, but I love everybody. I need to make that distinction. Don't think that because I treat you with kindness and love that I like you, because I don't. There's a select few of you that I do actually like. The majority of you can't stand. But I love you to death, and I give you whatever it is I can. If I got it and I don't need it and you do, it's yours. Don't worry about it. But yeah, you know, that's what I have to start noticing now. I know that that's who I am and how I am. And in certain situations, people will see that and take advantage of it. And when I can see that our relationship is very one-sided, that everything is, when I hear from you, it's because you need something. Or when I hear from you, it's because, you know, you set me up for something. I'm only a phone call away. This the introductory phone call. The next phone call going to be the one to ask me for something. You know, when I can recognize that pattern, then that's when I feel like I need to distance myself. And even in that distance, I still don't fully give up on you. I'm still hoping that the next time you call me, it's going to be something different. But I'm on the lookout for it, high alert. As soon as I see the signs that this is leading back to, you know, a request or something I can do for you, you know, that's when I start curving people. I hit them with, man, that sounds rough. I don't know what to tell you. I hope you, you know, best of luck with that, man. You know, I don't know what to tell you is my favorite. Man, that's crazy. When I hit you with the, that's crazy. That means, yeah, I got nothing for you. But that's a long-winded answer to the question. At what point do I decide to cut people out of my life? when there's no balance, when you're a taker and taking advantage of me. And I just say givers have to set boundaries because takers don't have. So if you're a giver, don't expect people to stop. Like expect people to notice that they're bleeding you dry. They're not. They don't care. They do notice and they don't care. They're in it for what they can get, not what effect it has on you. So you got to set the boundary. All right. Let's see. We'll do a relationship question. I get a lot of those. What is the most important thing for you when making the decision to get married again? I think it's the same thing that it was. It's the person. I believe in marriage and I believe in commitment. And if I do it again, I want to 100% feel like this is a forever thing. I'm making, a commitment with, some stipulations in it to a person. I'm telling them what I'm going to do and, that I'm going to love and cherish, and care for you in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, till death do us part. I'm saying those things and I understand, what part of that I need to hold up. And I'm expecting the same from the person standing across from me that says it back. And that's it. Like if I can trust in that this is me and you forever, through good times, through bad times, as long as I hold up my end of the bargain. And I think that's the part with the vows and stuff that sometimes gets missed. We often will see a marriage or something end, and we'll look at very specific things for who broke the vows. Like we look at, they cheated, you broke the vows, something like that. But if your vow was to love and cherish, and then you reached a space where you weren't doing that, you weren't waking up every morning with that person's best interest at heart, you weren't being affectionate or showing that person love. Maybe not only sometimes a daily basis is hard to do, but you should be. I mean, it should be a daily basis. But when you had them long dry spells where it's just not, you're not there. Like you can't say that I loved and cherished you that whole time. At some point, you fell short on your end of the agreement. The end result may be that person stepped out, and so it looks like they're the one that broke the vow. But you may have broken the vows way before that. I say that to say like that, these are the things I consider and I start to think about in terms of making that decision again. And what would be most important to me. I want to feel that way about the person that I want to be marrying, that they inspire me, to do certain things and to treat them a certain kind of way. And that loving them is not work for me. Some days it kind of is. Some days, you may be emotionally drained, but with the right person, you can say that. You can say, man, I've had a rough whatever day, week, month. I'm not in a good space today. And I don't want to neglect you. I just need you to know where my head is at. And that if you see me, if it feels like I'm distant from you, if it feels like I'm neglecting you, it's not intentional. I'm trying to come back from something. I'm trying to get myself right. And a person that loves you might, love on you extra that day to help you get back so you can be what you need to be for them. But that's kind of the ebb and flow in that back and forth. And that's the most important thing to me in making a decision to get married again, is knowing I have somebody just as committed to me as I am to them. And it's a crapshoot. You can't get inside somebody's head and know what they feel and where their heart is. But you can spend your time getting to know them and make the best decision possible. But that's the most important thing for me. It's got to be a commitment. I said the first time I wasn't doing it again. Second time, it's all or nothing. It's going to work one way or another. Anyway, let's move to another question. let's see. This will be the last one. Name the 5 most important people in your life and why they are on the list. No particular order. 5 most important people in my life. So Sheffy Lise, my daughter, definitely, hugely important to me. I mean, that's me. Yes. I think most parents understand, like, here's a life that's now got to go through this world that we know is crazy and messed up, and they didn't ask to be here. They're here because of the decisions I made. And so I owe it to her to try to help her navigate through this as best she can and to be the support for her and show her love, make sure, you know, if she doesn't have anybody else in the world that loves her, she's going to know her dad does. And then the way she looks at me and the way she thinks about me, like, there's no better feeling in the world when your kid, you know, looks at you like, that's my dad. And I think I've told stories about me showing up places, you know, and, you know, be at her school or whatever. And it's just the excitement on her face and the way she, you would have thought Michael Jackson walked in the room or something. She's like, that's my dad. Just introducing me to people who don't give a shit who I am. But it's cool. So Elise, definitely. My mom, you know, I mean, I guess in the same vein, you know, my daughter didn't ask to be here. And I feel an obligation, you know, to love her because she's only here because of decisions I made. I wouldn't be here without my mother, and I wouldn't be who I am without her. And so, you know, we've had our ups and downs. The relationship we have today, if you'd have told me at 16, 17 that, you know, we would be this close now, wouldn't have believed you. I moved out late. I moved out at like 24, but I moved out on Mother's Day. It's like a jab. Which didn't land at all because she was like, get the fuck out. I'm glad to see you go. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't always rosy. It wasn't always great. And to this day, like, I mean, there's things, there's unresolved issues. But at the end of the day, she's my mom. And, you know, in those moments where I feel like everybody walked away from me, my mother didn't. She did more. At times where I was not talking to her or not speaking to her, I'm hiding from her because I don't want her to know how bad things have gotten. I was still her little boy, and she, you know, and she came to the rescue or supported me in whatever way that she could. It's not always what I want. It's not always what I want to hear. Or it's not always right or kind or a lot of things, but that's my mother, and I love her to death. You know what bothers me when people say, I love you to life? Like, I'm not one of those people who just believes, like, if you say something like, I love you to death, you're wishing death on somebody. Like, I think there's power in words, but the power in the word is the power you put into it. If you say something with the belief that it's going to do something, then you put that out there. But if you're, you know, I don't know. I just, not to go on a tangent. Let's see, we're on two people right now. Wifey, of course. Very important to me. It's amazing how close you can get to somebody relatively quickly and with, I'm going to say it anyway, just for fun, and with some of the obstacles that we have in between us. But yeah, I'm incredibly close to her, and she cares for me in a way that I haven't been cared for in a long time, if ever. And you know, when somebody treats you that way, when somebody, you know, gives you that kind of appreciation, it's very difficult not to appreciate them back. I think it would take a despicable person not to appreciate them back. And she's already, you know, amazingly dope. And I think she could be with anybody that she chose to be with. So the fact that she chooses to be with me means the world to me. And I want to just wake up every day and continue to do things that justify that choice that she made. And one day, you know, we'll make it for a forever thing. But we got to get there. You know, don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, whatever it is they say. But yeah, definitely on the list of the most important people in my life. Where we at? We had three people. I'm going to go with my homie Chad, my white friend. Whatever. If you feel a certain kind of way, that's you. That's my brother. That's my brother. He's been, you know, we've seen each other through some tough times. We met at, you know, probably one of the roughest times that a person could go through. Both of us recovering from something, and having to build ourselves back up, and like to see where I am now from where we, you know, where we were when we met, and to see where he is now. You know, I'm proud of him. I know he, you know, will acknowledge me as a piece of that, you know, what helped him get to that point. And in the same way, you know, he's been that for me. I know I can call on him for anything at any time. And you know, to tell you how serious like back problems is, this is another tangent. But like I had the flu. And I think I told Chad once that I had the flu. And I called him, I told him I was sick. And his response was, well, hope you get well, Felicia. Something like, he pretty much called me a woman, like, get over it, you know, stop sniffling, you know, fuck you and your cold, man up. Like, that's pretty much the sentiment I got from him when I told him I had the flu. We had some bets on the football games yesterday. So he texted me to let me know he was up and pause. But I texted him back to say I hadn't been paying attention, you know, because my back is fucked up. And I told the nigga my back was fucked up. I told him I had the flu. He was like, man up. I told him my back was fucked up. He was like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Like, that's how dudes know, like, back issue. I think anybody that's had a back issue know it's not a game. So, whatever. Quick story. But, yeah, Chad, you know, that's my homie. Love him to death. And, yeah, definitely on my list of the five most important people in my life. And so now this fifth spot, this is a tough one. I'm gonna have to go with my other brother. So this is my brother from back home, Reginald 13 Greer. Again, in the same kind of way I talk about my mom, a lot of who I am today, I can attribute to knowing him. I was lucky enough to at a young age be around somebody. When I say young age, I'm talking like in my 20s. Like, if you 25 or younger, if I'm 18 years older than you, if I'm an adult older than you, you a kid to me. So let's just be clear about that. But yeah, around that time for me in my younger days, I ran into my brother Reggie. And what I got to see somebody who was only a year older than me, but like just in terms of how they dreamed and pursued things, like had no boundaries. Like there was nothing he didn't think he couldn't do. And if he thought about doing it, he just went and did it. You know, when I met him, you know, he had a record label and he was making music. And, you know, that was the person I started my rap career with. And we made music together. But for me, prior to that, like, yeah, I'm listening to beats and I'm writing or whatever. But there was some like mental block for me on being able to actually pursue that as something. And for him, there just was none. Like I want to be a rapper. Bam, I'm going to go be a rapper. And next thing I know, I'm in places, you know, meeting people and performing, you know, at spots. Like, it didn't go anywhere, but the fact that you could just do it. Like, I can't name all the careers that he's had. You know, we met in IT, you know, owned a label, DJ, actor, voiceover actor, cameraman. I mean, just what DJ, whatever he wants to do, whatever he decides he wants to do, he gets up and does. And to be able to see somebody do that and then be able to, you know, emulated in one. When I thought about this podcast, there was nothing to stop me from doing it. Like, I've seen that if you want to do, the only difference between you and the people doing what you want to do is that they doing it. Just take a step, then take another step, brick by brick. That's how everything is built. Nothing just appears out of nowhere. It's brick by brick. You're not going to be good at it the first time or the second time, maybe the third time. Who knows? But you get better every time. I still don't know if this show sucks or not, but it's better now than it was when I first started. So we're making progress. Progress, not perfection. It's another recovery statement. I had to throw one in. But yeah, those would be my five people. Elise, my mom, wifey, Chad, and my homie 13. So shout outs to all of you for being a part of my life. You're definitely important to me. And I hope that, you know, I reciprocate and that it's not a one-sided relationship, because that's when you got to cut people off. So I guess that's all the questions I'm going to answer for today. I don't know if any of this has been meaningful for you, but I appreciate you for listening. And if you made it this far, you are the real MVP. If you could also do me the favor, like I said, checking out Opulence Radio, opulenceradio.com. Or go on to search for Opulence Radio in your app store, downloaded the app so you can check out the programming that we have there. Nothing but dope shows. We got the Savagely Raw Morning Show. We got Truthfully Opinionated. We got a whole bunch of other shows. I'm saying we got the All on the Table Happy Hour. We got Kiss the Sky if you want to listen to more of your boy. And there's going to be more coming. There's more content coming, all dope content creators. Oh, and also we are doing the March for the Record Books again. I will put the links to the website to sign up if you want to be a part of us making another attempt to break the record for the longest continuous live stream podcast. We streamed for 48 hours straight last year. We're going to try to beat that this year, and you can be a part of it. I'll put the information in the show notes of this show. But look out for the March for the Record Books. That's going to be Martin Luther King Day weekend. It's a great time. It's a great time. You'll meet a lot of good people, and it's dope content. So, and then also hit up the whatistws.com store. whatistws.com/store. It's hoodie season. So coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, will get you 20% off your entire order. Go get suited and booted. It is what it is. But with that being said, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, you can have what it is that you want. You just may have to hold out for it. But every time you settle, you put distance between you and your dreams. And I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.